ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Turon Davenport from ESPN, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, good morning. How are we doing?
I am great. Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. TD, I thought it was a good press conference from Mike Borgonzi the other day, from the standpoint of, like, he didn't get up there and try to say as little as possible. I thought he did his best to be as forthcoming as he could be. What did you make of Borgonzi? What kind of stood out to you about that press conference?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, it's always an experience when he's up there speaking, because, like, the way my brain works, it's a little crazy. So I'm looking at him, and all I could think of is one of the brothers in the movie Gladiator 2. Oh, he looks like the one brother, right? And then he looks like that, and when he talks, he sounds like the bear, Ted. You know what I mean? So it's like it's tough, you know, but I dial in and I listen to him, and all jokes aside, I love the way he tried to empathize with the fans, you know, and told them that he understands their passion and understands their frustration. And, you know, I think that was a good way to kind of set the ground for what he was about to say. And obviously the Jarvis Brownlee Jr. one, like, I'm glad he opened up on that. He explained the reasoning behind the McCrary trade, the Draymond Jones trade. So he did a great job of just being not fully transparent, because you can't get up there and spill the whole tape, but he gave a good view of what was going on.
God, I've been going with, like, Mayor Quimby in The Simpsons, but now I'm like, it's a Pepperidge Farm! Now I got Ted in the bread. I don't know what I'm going to do next time this guy gets
Wicked
up there.
Wicked hard.
Oh, good God, that's amazing. Oh, geez. I thought it was a good presser. I feel like TD, yeah. It's just clear, like, the Brinker and Borgonzi probably, like, together thing shouldn't happen. Like, especially because it's kind of like, you know, you feel like Borgonzi's kind of like, yeah, it's awkward. It's like, okay, I get you get take this one. But just,
Mike, do you have any thoughts?
I thought it was a good, you know, I thought it was just a good here. You get up there, talk it out. I thought he had some good answers, some interesting answers. Do you feel like, did you come away, TD, with more, like, clarity on how they're doing things? I mean, I think they've said several times, like, you know, Borgonzi's in charge of the roster. But I don't know, like do you come away from that with, like, more clarity or more, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the word, like, certainty about how they are doing things over there?
Yeah, I have a little bit more of a belief, but I mean, there have been, you know, conversations and things, you know, you dig in and try to figure out, you know, how things are. I really believe that it's one of those situations where Borgonzi is going to get the opportunity to, you know, and like I said, it's not like he's going to go rogue, but he's going to get the opportunity to build the roster kind of like in his likeness and his image, where he wants it to be. And it's almost like they're just trusting him to do that. Of course, if there's something that they're just completely not in line with, there'll be a discussion. That's the question that I wanted to get in, but they were like, last question. I was like, ah, that I think is the biggest one. Like, what happens in conflict?
Yeah.
TD, you put it out there that the Titans fielded calls on Simmons and Ridley, but did not shop them. What do you make of that? And, you know, clearly, I mean, Borgonzi effusive in his praise for Jeffrey Simmons, not only the player he is, but kind of the tone that he sets, the leadership example that he wants to build around moving forward. What did you make of kind of how effusive he was on the Simmons front?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like you establish a core and you attach yourself to it and you build around it. And I think that was a really large play to Jeffrey Simmons to let him know that they want him there and that they want him to be the nucleus. And that's really what I gather from it. But it's right. You know, he is a guy He is a guy that is that you look at the example, you know, of how to do things as far as on the football field, as far as, you know, leadership within the locker room and things like that. He is the guy that they'll follow.
Well, that's what's interesting with with Jeff, TD, is, you know, I obviously he's always been one of their best players. I think he's obviously playing better this year than he has the last couple of years. The weight loss seems to matter. But he's always been a fiery guy, you know, and all that. But I don't know if he's necessarily been, like, the leader or one of the top leaders on the team. But it sounds like they believe that he is. Do you think he's changed? Like, has he improved in that way behind the scenes in terms of, you know, not just being a fiery guy who's going to, you know, go out there and battle anybody, but also someone who does some of the leadership stuff behind the scenes that maybe guys like, you know, like Kevin Byard, for example, maybe did, you know, when he was here?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I follow exactly what you're saying. He's one of those guys where, like, before it was always his play. You know, you see him, and I talked about this on Next Man Up yesterday. Like, you go back to the game against the Commanders a few years ago, right, and Terry McLaurin caught a screen, and Jeffrey Simmons ran 18 or so yards down the field and tackled him. You know, those are the things. Or you look at the very next play, he went left to right and ran Carson Wentz out of bounds when – Carson Wentz was trying to scramble, you know, and then he didn't tap out. He played that next play. Like, that's an example. Like, okay, that's a guy that puts forth maximum effort. But to give you an example of the things that you don't see. So earlier this year, it was that same time when Mike Silver had the story about him stopping practice because he didn't like the effort that J.C. Latham was giving.
Yeah.
Well, that extended into the locker room. And I was there and I watched them interacting. And JC was looking at the tablet, and Jeff was showing him. He was like, you know, I couldn't make out exactly what he said, but it was to the extent of, like, that's unacceptable, right? And they were talking, and they were going back and forth. And then, you know, as he's walking away, like, he's still telling him, hey, you got to get more effort than that. So that's an example, like, not being afraid to call out somebody, you know what I mean, and let them know, hey, look, man, this isn't the standard, you know, and that's an example of the leadership.
So, TD, you know, obviously bye week coming up this weekend, and then you get prepared for the next part of the season here. I think Titans fans really excited about DK, and deservedly so, with the way that he's played. You know, I guess one of the more disappointing parts of last Sunday's game was they didn't really get him going in the passing game the same way they did the week before. But overall, like, you got to be thrilled with what you've seen from him to this point. And I look at him and Io Manor, and they probably need to add another couple of guys either via the draft and free agency in that receiver room. But I'm interested to see throughout the long NFL season, can they get Io Manor and DK going and improving more in the passing game in the second half of the year? It's I guess if you're going through this struggle, it's good that the quarterback – and these two rookie receivers are going through it together.
Yeah, excellent point, Robbie. Exactly, because when you go through a struggle with somebody, when you come out on the other side of it, the bond is stronger, and just the ability to overcome any other adversity becomes stronger. So that's a great point. And I think to what you said as far as getting those guys going, because if Io Manor and DK gets going, that means Cam gets going.
Yep.
So now you have your trio of young playmakers, and you absolutely cannot forget about Gunnar Helm. You got to put him in that mix too, because I think he's probably honestly the safest option for him as far as Cam Ward in the passing game. So getting all those guys going, to me, if I'm Bo Hardigree, I'm Mike McCoy, you know, Nick Holtz, like, that's what I want. I want to get those guys going, because you get them going strong down the stretch, that's just going to help set you up for your next job. Now, it may not be the same capacity, like QB coach / play caller. It may just be, you know, offensive assistant, but still you're positioning yourself and showing, hey, look, man, like, I can make some lemonade out of lemons. Don't get it messed up. So I think that's a good point.
So, TD, there was, you know, there was smoke around a lot of guys, but Tavondre Sweat, one of them.
Yeah.
He's here. I'm no expert. And I certainly am the last person to be body shaming anybody else, but he doesn't look to me like he's in great shape or that he's all that dynamic out there. I just, from your perspective, you know, what is the, like, I guess the belief in the building? I mean, you know, Bergonzi didn't draft him, but also, like, the belief in him and the I guess the upside people see in him. Like, do the Titans still think he can be more of a difference maker, more of a guy that you would take in the second round?
Yeah, no, there's a belief still. My thing is this, even as a guy like Calvin Ridley coming back is not going to be in the best shape. Like, he's going to have to work himself back into shape. And, you know, we're talking about a skill guy, right? So now you transfer that to a big guy like Tavondre Sweat. It's going to take a little bit to get back in the swing of things. But I know that there's the player development program that they have. I think that's – well, I know that's going to be something that, you know, is really – being poured into him and getting him on track to the playmaker that he has the potential to be. Now, obviously, with Rand Carthon and Anthony Robinson not being there, you know, it's a different support system and it's a different belief system, because those guys, like, we know the extra efforts they went to just to draft him, right, and then to help him develop. I think it's just a matter of getting the right program for him and getting him on that track like he was last year. And it's just finding the leaders, finding the mentors for him, and that's what's going on there.
TD, last thing for you here. I mean, Borgonzi, going back to his presser, didn't want to get into the coaching search too much, you know, understandably mm-hmm. so, given the fact there's still a lot of football left to be played. But one thing he did say was, quote, "Me and Chad have had conversations, and it's important that it's not only a fit for the organization, we want a leader here. I don't care if it's defense or offense." Did that give you any sort of clue as to the style of coach that they may be looking at here?
I think what it made me hone in on the leader part of it. And I think in this situation, I think their version of leader is a guy who has been there before, right? Not a new coach.
Yeah.
A guy who has had the position before. So that's kind of what I gathered from it. So, you know, it could be your guy, Robbie Mike McCarthy. It could be Matt Nagy, Arthur Smith, right? You look at the different – Robert Saleh. There's a lot of options there. So it made me feel like they're going to be more in that bucket right there.
TD, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Enjoy the bye week, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, for sure, man. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Teron Davenport presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We'll react to what TD had to say. Have some of your thoughts to get to as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
I want Titans fans to really just protect themselves for the first part of the schedule that I'm about to go through here, okay? At Denver, at LA, 0-2. I will give them Indianapolis to get them to 1-2. That's the last win they're going to see for a while. 1-3, it's Houston. 1-4, Arizona. They lose to Vegas on the road, 1-5. They lose to Vrabel at home, 1-6. They lose in Indianapolis, 1-7. They lose at home to the Chargers, 1-8. They lose at home to the Texans, 1-9. They lose at home to Seattle, 1-10. Like, people, I think, hear me read off what I just did and have them at 1-9 or 1-10 and think, how in the world could that possibly happen? I'm just telling you, man. Like, if you're of the belief that the Titans are going to end up with, like, 5 or 6 wins this year, my guess is if you look at the schedule, you're going to feel like most of them are coming toward the end. How do
you
like
me now? You know, sometimes this old boy knows what he's doing out there. How do you like me now? Sometimes.
That is pretty good. Now, I will say,
I got the win wrong.
Well, so I heard Vingan saying apparently, like, that Connor Orr from SI has them not only the record, but he had the Cardinals.
Did he have the Cardinals game?
Yeah,
apparently. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Did he have the Cardinals dropping the ball at the goal line? Because if he had that, and then recovering a fumble in the end zone for a touchdown? Because if he had that, we probably need to watch out for that guy.
Then he's literally like a demigod at least,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I got him all the way to 1-10. Okay.
Yeah. So here we go. I like your chances.
Yeah, me too.
I think you're going to continue to be right.
I think so. Woo. Good stuff
there. Nice job. Nice job.
Am I reading too much into the Borgonzi thing where he's talking about, you know, he made it clear he didn't want to get too much into the coaching search the other day. But the leadership part of it, it stuck out to me. Like, he's like, we need a leader. And maybe that's because we've just talked about Brian Callahan ad nauseum and I'm reading too much into it. But I'm kind of with TD, like, I felt stronger even than I did before the other day that they're going to go try to hire somebody that's had a head coaching job before. Like, I'm not going to say you totally take, like, Joe Brady or name your hot coordinator out of it, but I think they would really have to impress Borgonzi and or Brinker to be hired at this point.
Yeah. Like, is it possible that – I mean, I think that the interview pool will probably include people in different buckets.
Yeah.
And you should go into those with an open mind and be allow yourself to be blown away. Like, you know what? This person is a leader, even though this guy has not been a head coach. I mean, you know, everything he's saying sounds good, makes sense. All right, let's go. But I would strongly, if I was betting, I would strongly lean toward someone who's been a head coach. And I do take, I said it the other day, but I do take those comments also as intentional or not, a little bit of a commentary on Brian Callahan. Like, yep. That's he just, you know, the big picture leading the whole place, just it wasn't good enough from him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he talked about, regardless of what the title is, right, like those three people in the organization that really make all the decision, you know, GM and head coach and whatever your personnel guy, whatever title you want to give them.
Yeah.
You know, I do think the next coach, I'm a lot more willing to give that type of responsibility. And I guess if you're Borgonzi, like, trust that guy. If it is like a Mike McCarthy or a, you know, somebody who's had the job before, rather than some dude just walking in there for the first time. Like, it just, the more you look at their situation and their roster and everything about it, the more it makes sense to go get somebody who's done the job before. I just wonder, like, how many of those guys that have done the job before that may have options or may not? I don't know. Like, there's going to be a lot of coaches that are out there and available. How many of those coaches look at this organization right now in this roster and say, "Yep, that's me. I want to get back in there."
Yeah, it's about Cam. I mean, if they like Cam, then maybe roster. They know it's bad. Everybody knows that. Cam. I mean, I think that's the answer. And again, Brian Callahan, boy, remember some of the stuff he said about Will Levis coming in and take the job, which has not aged well. But I another question on this is, so you have coaches who have experience. So there's four that we talk about all the time, which is Saleh, Arthur Smith, Matt Nagy, and McCarthy. Mike McCarthy. Does it matter that you've had success? Because only one of them has had success, really, as a coach. Again, you got to find out what happened, Arthur. You know, in Atlanta, you can just blame bad quarterback situation if you want, but also he had a hand in that, and they didn't get the ball to their playmakers, et cetera, et cetera. Saleh, a total disaster, but it was a total disaster organization. And then Nagy actually was better there than some people want to remember, I think. But it is the Bears.
Well, and again, on the Saleh front, it's a bad organization you were in. I mean, right now, this is a bad organization you'd be coming to. Does he want to do that again?
Yeah.
Or if you're him, are you better off, you know, biding your time a little bit and waiting for, you know, the right job to open up?
I mean, Woody Johnson was your owner, so you already must have some bad owner PTSD.
Yeah.
Like, if you're Robert Saleh, do you not know what has gone on and looking at ownership here and saying, can I go to a place where people aren't wondering what the heck the owner is thinking?
Yeah.
Now, that owner pops off all the time with ridiculous stuff, whereas this owner doesn't, but still. Well, I would think that he would be especially skittish because of where he just was.
Oh, and then are there people out there that have had previous head coaching experience that are not names that we talk about all the time? Like, where does that line up? I mean, I don't think this is going to happen because of the NFL thing and the lawsuit. But, I mean, Brian Flores, I think, is going to get an NFL head coaching job again at some point, I think, right? Like, he's done such a good job with Minnesota's defense. And, frankly, like, go back and look at his time in Miami. Like, he coached Tua a little hard. I don't think Tua likes him all that much. But Tua's not that good.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're dealing with all the Stephen Ross stuff down there. Like, it's kind of a disaster in Miami, too. Like, I think the further away he gets from that, I know there's the lawsuit and that – complicates things, but the further away he gets than that, I think the better off he's looking in all this.
No, that's a good point. I agree. And like last year, you know, that was a huge Vikings Lions game, and like Ben Johnson, they had answers, and they made that defense pay. He just completely schooled that new Lions OC the other day.
Yeah,
I mean, and he's just I feel like he's just a fiery leader. And you're right. At that time, it's like it's at a certain point in a player's timeline, the player's always going to win. Like we're seeing something go on with Memphis and John Morant and their coach. And it's like, you know, at some point, like at that point when Tua's career, it doesn't matter. Like then you're out as a coach if you can't deal with it. But now you kind of look back in retrospect and look at Tua and what's going on with like the locker room there. And it's like, okay, so maybe people were a little hard on Flores for some of that stuff.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up next. A lot of games to get to. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Now it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 1025 the game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em on Robbie and Rex Road. A standings update in the competition. I am surging in the competition right now. I'm 5-1 last week. I think I've gone like 5-1 3 weeks in a row, something like that. It's going well for me right now on the football front. Ian Safar 1-5, no lock last week. Joe Rextro 2-4, no lock, which brings the overall standings now in first place. Robbie Stanley, 33-27, 3-7 on my locks, 36 points. Ian Safar 31-29, 4-6 on his locks, 35 points. Joe Rextro 26-34, 6-4 on your locks. 32 points.
I think I went 6-0, 3-3, 1-5 the last 3 weeks. So if that just goes to show you how the numbers go when it comes to betting, that's pretty much the lesson to take there, I suppose.
That's a pretty good lesson.
So does that mean you're going to go 0-6 this week or 6-0 this week?
Probably back to 3-3.
Okay.
Swing it. Okay. Back on the upswing.
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
Okay. All right. We begin with Auburn and Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow here in Nashville. Vanderbilt, a 6.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I am in first place, as I mentioned.
Yes.
And I will start the competition. Give me Vanderbilt minus the 6.5. You know, I am intrigued. And if you're a Vanderbilt fan, I think a little worried about, you know, you just made a coaching change if you're Auburn. Does that fire them up? Does that get something clicking with them that previously hasn't been? Maybe. I also think Vanderbilt understands that there's absolutely zero margin for error for them moving forward. And whatever their best is, they got to bring it from here on out. I think they will. And I think Vanderbilt covers tomorrow minus the 6.5. Ian Safar, Vandy, a 6.5-point favorite.
I'm also going to take Vandy. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and lock it down.
Now we're talking.
Last week, you could kind of see Texas was the more desperate team. The desperation for Vandy will kick up a notch coming off the loss. So give me Vandy to win, but by at least a touchdown.
Going with Vanderbilt minus the 6.5. Joe Rexroad, who we got?
Well, if I had any guts, I'd just do something different and try to gain a point here on you guys. But I got to go Vanderbilt, too. I think this game, I agree. I mean, Vanderbilt, you know, I'm sure they had some fun film sessions on the defense side of the ball for the Texas game. Obviously a huge win. Auburn, very, very talented team, very good defense. I think this is going to look a lot like that Missouri game and Vanderbilt. Like I wouldn't be surprised if it's like the exact same game and Vanderbilt wins like 17-10. But I will narrowly take Vanderbilt.
Monday Night Football, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers in a gigantic matchup in the NFC. The Packers, a 2.5-point favorite at home on Monday Night Football. Ian Safar, who we got?
Tough game here. Philly, I guess, coming off the bye week. Packers coming off a disappointing game versus the Panthers, who expect to bounce back from Green Bay.
Keep saying bye week, everybody. It's fine.
Off week.
Just stew.
Idle.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye week was right. You're good.
So I'm a little bit torn on this game, but I don't know. Packers minus 2.5. I get a little bit of a leeway there where they can still win and Eagles cover. So give me Philly plus 2.5.
Going with Philadelphia plus the 2.5. Rex Road, who we got?
This is a tough one. It is, and obviously, you know, Philly adding to their roster, doing things that other contenders in the NFC aren't doing. But I think the Packers, I think they're, again, a team bouncing off an embarrassing performance. Prime time, I got to go with the home team in this one.
Give me Green Bay. I've always believed in Matt LaFleur. I believe in him again heading into this matchup. They played so bad last week that I think they want Philadelphia after the way the playoffs went last year. I'll take Green Bay in this one minus the 2.5. We move to the individual portion of the program. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
So tonight we got Northwestern out on the coast at USC. USC minus 14.5. You know, the Trojans are one of a bunch of Big Ten teams that I don't think are good enough to be in the playoff, but are alive for the playoff, and style points do matter, and I think USC is going to absolutely obliterate those crazy Wildcats. Give me USC minus the 14.5.
USC minus 14.5. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers minus 2.5 against the Patriots. Patriots getting a lot of love. Buccaneers had a bye week at the right time. I think that they will win at home against the Patriots. So give me Tampa minus the 2.5 against New England. Ian Safar, your first individual selection.
Okay, my first two will go college. Last two will go NFL. I'm going to actually take Mississippi State plus 9.5 at home versus Georgia.
I like it. Mississippi State plus 9.5 against Georgia.
They've been flirting around. Some OTs there. Mississippi State been showing up. Georgia, maybe a little bit of a, you know, letdown or look ahead kind of situation. So I'm going to take Mississippi State.
I like it.
For my second pick, give me Texas A&M minus 6.5 against Missouri and make it my lock.
Guaranteed.
Drinkwit's going to get slapped, figuratively, maybe literally, this weekend. Give me A&M minus the 6.5 against Missouri. Rexrod, your second individual selection.
Well, guess what? Texas A&M at Missouri. Missouri at home plus 6.5. Give me Missouri,
I
baby.
Like it.
Show me state time. I think they have a chance to pull off the upset. I'm not sure I'm necessarily picking that, but I will definitely take those points at home.
The Insofar.
We'll see who's right.
Your second individual selection.
Okay, my second college selection here. I think I'm just going to roll with them. They've been kicking butt. This is maybe a tough game on the road at Penn State. Indiana's last real game before they kind of cruise for the rest of the season, so they probably will not overlook Penn State. You know, 14.5 is kind of a big number, but as we've said, I mean, they've been cruising. So I'll take Indiana minus 14.5 at Penn State.
That is an interesting
Indiana
one.
Indiana minus the 14.5 against Penn State. Joe Rexrod, your third individual selection.
Just think about, I know what Indiana did last year, but just think about going into the year. Someone would say, hey, here's what a line will be. Indiana will be at Penn State plus 14 or minus 14.5.
Yeah.
My goodness. All right, I'm going to the NFL. Bills at the Dolphins. Bills are minus 8.5 on the road. Yeah, give me that. I think the Dolphins are a disaster. I think the Bills kind of can roll off that win over the Chiefs. I think that they will win by double digits in Miami.
Ian Safar, your third individual selection.
Okay, my two NFL games. We will start. Give me Baltimore minus 4.5 at Minnesota. That number seems a little high. 4.5 on the road versus a good team, which makes me think, you know, they want you to take Minnesota. So I'm going to take Baltimore minus 4.5 at Minnesota.
So Baltimore is minus 4.5 at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Does that seem weird?
Some strategery from Ian Safar there. I like the way he thought.
Yeah, it seems
out
a little high, does it not?
Yeah, they would be home. I mean, I know that the Ravens are good.
7.5 points better?
You think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but I'm still just surprised that line surprises me.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Give me the Alabama Crimson Tide minus 9.5 against LSU. Again, a team that fired their coach. Maybe you'll see a bump. I don't think you will against this team. I'll take Alabama minus the 9.5 against LSU. Ian Safar, your final individual selection.
Well, I don't really want to take this because you already took it, Robbie, but it's on my list. So I guess I'm going to go Tampa Bay minus 2.5 versus New England as well.
There you go.
I didn't really find anything else that kind of stood out. So I'll go Tampa Bay. I think they're good. The Patriots hype is maybe a little bit too high. Give me Tampa minus 2.5 also.
Going Tampa minus the 2.5 against New England. Joe, for my final selection, I thought about making this my lock. Not going to. Give me Seattle minus 6.5 against the Cardinals. Sammy Darnold's out there dealing. Cardinals have Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, and I know they just won the game the other day, but they're not going to win this one. Give me Seahawks minus 6.5 against the Cardinals. Joe Rexrod, your final selection.
Yeah, I hate to do it, but you and I are looking at the same games this week, but in this case, I 100% agree with you, and I will make that my lock. Seahawks lock. I'm a believer.
I'm kind of surprised by that line. Seahawks are at home, too, by the way. So I thought it'd be more than that. 7.5, 8.5. I can't believe the Cardinals lost to the Tennessee Titans. That's what I keep going back to.
That is true, too.
They just needed Brissett as the starter.
Yeah, maybe so.
Finally. He's finally getting his due.
But, hey, probably a team that's going to need a quarterback at the end of the year.
Maybe a coach.
So a team that, hey, if you're the Titans, Just get them down there to where they finish with a better record than you do, but may have to trade with you come draft time.
Is there really going to be a market for Kyler Murray? What team?
That's interesting.
What team would want to acquire Kyler Murray at this point?
As their starter.
As the starter.
Yeah, that's a good question.
For like a year, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going anything beyond that.
Yeah, it is interesting because, I mean, I think that there's probably some coaches around the league that are like, I could do more with him. I mean, he's talented.
Yeah. And he's been good.
And he has been good, yeah.
He's not been great, but he's been good.
And then it's like the whole, I mean, it's almost like it's magic pixie dust now, right? Where you have this whatever quarterback you want to name goes to the next place and it gets better,
yeah.
You know? So, but I wonder if he'll have to have like a sort of like a almost like the Russ Fields situation with Pittsburgh last year, a situation like that somewhere, you know?
Maybe so. You know, maybe that's the Colts answer. Move on from Daniel Jones at the end of the year, and Kyler Murray comes in.
Yeah, there we go.
Who knows?
You know, I did see a stat on Daniel Jones, by the way. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Colts hater here, but Dan Mitchell, he's a analytics guy, NFL account, says Daniel Jones leads the league in first read throws.
Okay.
First read throw percentage, 62.8%. The Steelers figure that out and cause him to have his worst performance of the year. I believe a blueprint has been established. So, you know, one of the knocks on Daniel Jones has been that he processes too slow. So, I'm just throwing that out there, man.
We got a lot of stats in today's game.
We do.
A lot of stats out there.
We do.
Let's head to the phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing good, buddy.
Good, Trey.
Hey, I wanted to say that I don't know who we should go for as far as hiring a coach, but the things that I would look for, I would want somebody somebody that's won at least 50% of their games, okay, that's a good organizational builder and someone that can develop a quarterback. I don't know how difficult that would be. And somebody that has a great temperament to be able to change the environment of the locker rooms would be great because, as we know, guys, Cam Ward got a lot of work to do. And I'm kind of like flabbergasted on Bergonzi's and Callahan saying that Cam Ward, oh, he can make all the throws and blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if Bergonzi's going to be able to do anything. But I hope they be able to do what they need to do. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank
Love
you, Trey.
You guys. Have
Appreciate
a good
it.
Day.
Kind of sounds like Trey just described Mike McCarthy a little bit. Won over 50% of his games. He's a builder. Players love him. He has developed a quarterback. So we'll see.
That's a fair point. He would check the boxes. Has Trey detected via his hearing that Cam can't make any particular throw?
That sounded like a really bad throw there.
That sounds like a wounded duck.
Did you hear the way that ball spun off his hand there?
Just having fun with you, Trey.
Love you, Trey. I'm just going to not look at the text line now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Our college football game of the week, LSU and Alabama, 6:30 on 102.5 The Game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. One more segment coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Join Chase and Big Joe today from noon to 3 at Reunion Township at 550 Old Lagardo Road in Mount Juliet. A brand-new luxury apartment community nestled perfectly between Mount Juliet and Lebanon. Resort-style living that you deserve. For more information, go to reuniontownship.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, some good news on the NFL front. Ian Rappaport, among others, putting this out there, that Jaden Daniels, his MRI and medical opinions have revealed positive news. Rappaport says his dislocated left elbow not as serious as originally anticipated, no ligament damage, and he will not need surgery. So he was not even going to immediately be placed on injured reserve, which is amazing if you actually saw that injury the other
day. Yeah, that's great. That's great. It's good to be pliable.
Yeah.
You know, those pliable bones.
Brady. Brady knew what he was
That's
doing.
Right. That's right. That's right. That was one of Vrabel's. He used to lift weights, and now he's just pliable.
Yeah.
What he said?
That's what he said.
That's great news on Jaden Daniels.
Yep. That was pretty gross looking the other night, so I thought that was going to be really bad. So yeah. The fact that he's not even going on IR is good. I mean, clearly he's probably not going to play this weekend, but good stuff there on the Jaden Daniels front. Got one texter. John says, do you think Cleveland -2.5 against the Jets is a trap game? And if you're the Titans this weekend, you're a Titans fan this weekend, that is an interesting game. The Browns and the Jets coming up.
Go, yeah. You just like, come on, Browns, lay down.
Yeah.
Lay down for the Jets. Jets have tried to give away all their good players. Can the Browns find a way to lose to them?
That would get the Jets to 2-7 if you
can
get that win.
Browns versus Jets.
Both teams would be 2-7. That'd be
imagine having to watch that game.
That's a beaut.
Yeah. I think if you're a Titans fan, that could be right there.
Yeah, who do you root for?
Well, you root for the Browns.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, you root for the Jets. No, what am I talking about? You root for the Jets. You want the Jets to win. You want to have the number one
two.
Pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
If you're a Titans fan, and we've heard from a lot of Titans fans who, are not sad to be missing their team. But if you are sad, I think that the closest thing you can have to Titans football is watching a little Browns-Jets.
That's a real nice filler for you there.
So there you go.
The Saints and the Panthers coming up this weekend too. So maybe after a Panthers big emotional win against the Packers last week, maybe a letdown against the Saints. Saints could get the win number two this weekend too. I mean, Titans, by the time Monday rolls around, Joe, could be sitting in sole possession.
My bad. I thought Cleveland only had one win. They got two already.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're
can't stop those Browns.
They're well beyond. Yeah. So, they could be. No, Nevada Jess says Jaden looked like Gumby with that arm. Yeah,
it's pretty gross.
Yeah. No, I mean it's you still have rooting interests here if you're a Titans fan, and also you can if you don't want to watch something that is close to Titans football. There's some actual games that should be entertaining this week. I'm looking at 49ers Rams over your shoulder there. I'm excited about that one.
Yep. I mean,
Packers-Eagles. I'm excited about that one.
Patriots-Bucks should be good.
Patriots-Bucks is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, there's Sunday afternoon, you got Lions-Commanders. Marcus leading the charge out there.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
I've seen Marcus rip the Lions' hearts out before. Yeah. Maybe he can do it again.
It has. That has happened before. Vanderbilt-Auburn coming up tomorrow, Joe. Big game for Vanderbilt, obviously. Your concern level heading into the game that Auburn finds something in the aftermath of the firing of Hugh Freeze?
Well, I think they've played hard. I think they've been good on defense. I think that'll continue. I think that they will. I think that they're now. Look, obviously, this has not been a good matchup for Auburn.
Nope.
You know, this offense and Diego Pavia has not been a good matchup. And actually, I think that was the most impressive performance last year by Vanderbilt was going into Auburn. And Pavia had a big day and all that, but also like their defense totally shut down Auburn's at the time, like running game that was going very well. But I think I think there's a concern level with Auburn playing hard. I fully expect it. I fully expect their defense to keep the score down. They do every single week. And so I think Vanderbilt's going to have to win a grinder of a game. But I also think that Vanderbilt's defense is going to go out there and it'll feel a little different than it felt last week when it was like, man, Arch Manning's actually making a lot of the right plays and they have playmakers all over the field and we can't tackle them. And Auburn will – I mean, I just don't see what Auburn's going to come up with offensively. You know, the coach bump only goes so far. And their offense is bad.
Hopefully not a 185 yards after the catch at halftime for Auburn tomorrow.
Yeah.
It'd be a step in the right direction.
I will say, like, Auburn, anybody else, and it's not like Texas just invented something here, but I'm going to throw a ton of bubble screens.
Oh, yeah. Make you tackle
and say, go ahead. Just if we can get their corners in tackling isolated tackling situations, looked pretty good last week for the offense.
How many more articles get written over the weekend of either Josh Heupel or Clark Lea going to be the next Penn State coach?
Yeah, I don't know. Sloppy Toppy. We should have just had him on.
We should have.
Off
maybe
the
next
top,
week.
Off the top rope with two P's. Yeah, I people get so mad at him.
They're mad.
I mean, it was fine. I disagree with some of it. Like, I don't know that he's really going to be hot seat. I mean, again, like, staying ahead of
the fans are hot under the collar.
Yeah. I do think this is one of those situations where, because some Tennessee fans can be so over the top and loud about it, you misread the fan base. I think the vast majority of the fan base is still fully behind Josh Heupel and looking for improvement and concerned about some things, which is totally fair.
Yeah.
They should feel that way.
I would agree.
Like you. Just like you. The level-headed Vols fan.
I just wonder wonder how many more articles are coming, Heupel or Lee. Which one's it going to be for Penn State, Josh Heupel or Clark Lee?
Well, that's the one. Maybe I'll write that. You know, like which one of these? It's a race for the Penn State job. That game is not for a playoff spot. It's for the Penn State job.
Penn State job.
Yeah.
That does it for us today. We'll be back on Monday. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Next man up with Jake Lyman up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.